knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes. Like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, we have a tradition here.
It is.
It is true. February, so right. That means that I go second.
Yep. Okay. My bright spot today is that Jill Scott has a new album out.
Okay.
It's very good. It's fantastic. It's her first album in like 10 years. And she does my favorite thing that Jill Scott does.
Sing.
Which is, she's a poet. And she finds the metaphor in the mundane, which is always lovely. But also sometimes that looks like, I woke up at 4, I got some eggs. Like, it's just narrating your day. Mm. And it's like, sometimes you're finding the metaphor in the mundane. And sometimes you're just narrating your day.
Sometimes it's just the mundane.
Sometimes it's just like, you really needed to tell me about these scrambled eggs you made.
And maybe there's a metaphor in there that you, Jordan, aren't
I don't need
getting.
It. Yeah, exactly.
So it just seems mundane to you.
Totally.
Someone else might be crying about
somebody
those eggs.
Somebody else might be losing their mind.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's also the mundane in there.
Well, that's great.
Sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, my friend.
Sometimes it's not.
Sometimes it's a penis.
Yeah. That's right.
Absolutely.
And sometimes it explodes.
Wait, the cigar or the penis?
The both.
On a birthday.
I'm doing some eyebrow wagging at you.
What's your bright spot?
So I'm feeling a little bit better. We're a little bit late with this episode because I got struck with another illness.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird. I feel like neither of us were sick pretty much through
Decade.
COVID.
Decade.
And this year has just already been a bit of illness.
That one we got at the beginning of January fucked up our immune system because
it might be
for 10 years. I don't think I've ever gotten sick.
No, it's very weird.
Yeah, and then I got sick again too. We've both been sick twice already within the first 2 months.
Yeah, it's some crazy
it's wild.
Times.
Yeah,
but yeah, I was sleeping a lot. Did a lot of sleeping.
Yeah.
But also had a little bit of time to enjoy some Pikmin. And
all
so
right.
I've been making my way through Pikmin.
All right.
And I have some observations that I'd like to share with the class.
Okay.
They're all good so far.
All the Pikmin are good so far.
All Pikmin are good Pikmin.
Okay. Okay.
I'm on Pikmin 3, and that is really where it came together.
Okay.
Pikmin 1 is good, but it's kind of easy, and it's a little bit short, and...
Yeah.
Almost like proof of concept.
I was about to say proof of concept.
Yeah.
This could be fun if we nail it.
Yeah. I think it has the feel of like a very successful
demo.
Indie-ish game.
Yeah, gotcha.
And then two, they evolve on some of the stuff, but it's not fully there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think in three, it's just like, this is the fucking game.
You guys nailed
this
it.
This is so good.
Yeah. Nice.
So yeah, I'm still just enjoying the hell out of it.
Yeah.
As I've played them many times throughout my life, and I'm still enjoying throwing those little guys around.
There are just some games like that where it is, for whatever reason, like the time in your life when it hits you, or just like this gameplay loop, the tactile feel of it just hits my brain right.
Yeah. I think there's just a lot of charm. It looks so good.
Yeah.
Like everything is cartoony and pleasant, and most of it is like, you're running around little gardens or whatever, trying to pick up bottle caps and shit. It's just fun and calming in the same way that a lot of people found like Animal Crossing calming.
Yeah.
And then those little guys, they're fun.
You
throw them.
No argument. It's fun to throw little guys.
And I think, this sucks, but I do feel like the villains in the game have it coming. Like, I feel bad that there's combat.
Yeah.
It would be nice if there wasn't.
Yeah.
But those big guys, they're going to eat your little guys at night if you don't kill them.
I mean, to a certain extent, narratively, every villain has to be deserving mm-hmm. of their comeuppance. Regardless of whether or not we would say so outside, the narrative has to drive towards them receiving an equal. Yeah,
but I would argue that in a lot of narrative driven stuff,
sure,
the villain has a good point though. Like oftentimes sure. they're misunderstood or sure. they're like, hey, they're right, but they're going about things in the wrong way.
Sure.
These villains in Pikmin, nah.
You know what undercut Black Panther? Because I think Michael B. Jordan's character does have a lot of really good points, but it's tough when your name is Killmonger mm-hmm. to be the good guy. You don't name yourself Killmonger if you're the good guy, right?
It's not a name that you negotiate with.
Yeah.
You don't come around on Killmonger.
No. You're trying to send a message.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a villain named like Apocalypse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that guy's not going to be, he's yeah. not chill.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, if the villain names himself just like Terry Jones, you're like, I mean, it seems like he could be a normal guy eventually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Or, like, your name as a supervillain is, we've got to deal with the problems. Then it's like, well, yeah. You know.
My welcome to Systemic Issues Man!
Yeah. I can hang with that quicker than Killmonger.
Yeah, Killmonger is real. I think you just write yourself into the corner once you name a character.
People are going to treat you a certain way.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we had a Killmonger to talk about today, and we'll do that in a
nice.
Second.
But what first, a transition.
Let's take a little moment to say hello to
Love
some
it.
New wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Paul in Alabama has just joined the ranks of the Policy Wonks. Thank you so much. You're now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a Policy Wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Agrippa says Jar Jar Binks to the wonk. Sorry, technocrat on Aegis Company. That kaiju has a Black Caribbean accent. Thank you so much. You're now a Policy Wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Lumpsky Bear, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix,
Ooh.
Jordan. So thank you so much to Lucy Lee, Yin to my yang. Happy birthday. I love you, Mr. Kylie. Thank you so much. You're now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So, Jordan, today we are back in the past.
Gotcha.
I think when you're a little bit under the weather, it's tough to listen to Alex. When you got, he's an annoying man, and it's a challenge. But when you have like a head cold and a fever, you don't want to be listening to this fella.
No.
So I decided to, you know, we got to make things easy on myself. Let's stay in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna be talking about March 14th, 2006.
All right.
And there's not a lot here. There's a lot of filler on the episode itself. But some of the things that we're looking at in 2006 are heavily developed. Namely, Alex's relationship with Slobodan Milosevic.
That is, I mean, sure. All right. So we're going to find out that he's actually, it's okay for him to use Slobo. They are close.
Yes.
Okay.
I think we're going to come away from this with a, Alex is neutral on genocide.
Well, I mean, neutral. I throw this out at you. There is no neutral on genocide. Neutral, you're on one side.
It's an interesting take you have, and I agree. So we start off here, and Alex is talking about how Slobo was murdered.
The global crime syndicate, spin doctors, intelligence agents are in overdrive right now, trying to spin the murder of Slobodan Milosevic. It fits the classic MO. He said he was being poisoned, said he was going to be murdered. And they had, admittedly, 24-hour-a-day bright lights on him for years. He never was allowed to have even semi-darkness. And video cameras on him at all times. It had been even in international news that there would be 3 guards whenever anyone was in the cell with him. He has not seen his wife or children in 5 years since they grabbed him. So no one was allowed in to even see.
That's all not true. And it's unclear where Alex is even taking those assertions from.
Yeah.
For one thing, Slobodan Milosevic was acting as his own lawyer, and that granted him certain privacies from the jail and the prosecution. He was able to have a private office area, and he was able to meet with people confidentially when it was arguably part of his defense. This is how he took many meetings that were likely how his associates smuggled various drugs into him.
Right.
They had to give him, like, privileged visiting for, like, partially because of head of state stuff.
Sure.
And then also partially because of he's acting as his own lawyer.
Yeah.
He can't have a fair trial always watching him.
Right.
The jail that Slobo was kept in had a separate comfort room for conjugal visits. And while I'm not sure if he ever used it with his wife, she did visit him on multiple occasions.
Sure.
This behavior from Alex seems sort of desperate, like a major world event happened and he needs to make a conspiracy out of it. I'm not sure there's much of an upside to this because I have no idea what the globalists would hope to gain out of killing Milosevic at this point. If the idea was that they were killing him to shut him up, they took their sweet time with that and allowed him to speak in court in his own defense quite a bit already at this point.
Crazy.
For Alex, everything has to be interesting. And Slobodan Milosevic's death isn't really all that interesting. Him dying of a heart attack during his trial for crimes against humanity is disappointing from a narrative standpoint, because there isn't a big closure where he's held responsible for his actions, or he gets to have this big third act Deus Ex Machina reveal that he was innocent all along. Him just dying sucks, but life sucks sometimes.
Yeah.
When people say that folks gravitate toward conspiracy theories because they make them feel better, it often means something like this. The international community spent all this time unseating Milosevic and then all this time putting him on trial, then what does that even amount to? It ends with a heart attack before the verdict even comes down. This is an intolerable level of chaos, and most people just want any other explanation. Alex is willing to directly lie to the audience and make a victim out of Slobodan Milosevic because doing that helps him pretend that there's an order to the universe. He couldn't have just randomly died of a heart attack. This is too important of a show to get canceled mid-season.
Yeah.
And Alex is providing people with the feeling of like, oh no, this is actually part of a bigger plot, as opposed to like, no, it's just a letdown. It sucks.
Yeah. You know, I think we talked about it off air a little bit. But, like, listen, you don't send Napoleon to the island. You just kill him. Mm. Right? You can't be doing this. You got to learn your lesson. We fucked up that one time. Slobo, I get it. We all want trials and all that shit. No, get him out of here. What are we doing? You guys are the ones who unseated him from the thing because you know he did the crime. Once you unseat him, that is the trial, right?
No, not necessarily. I mean, like, you could make an argument of it wasn't like the UN that unseated him.
Sure.
Obviously, there was international support for the groups that were opposing him and shit. But, like... Yeah, I don't know. I think that the rule of law is important.
I'm with you.
And I think that what you're expressing, you run the risk of erring too far the other direction.
I understand that risk, but here's my line for you. Slobodan Milosevic.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go any further than Slobo.
Yeah.
That's our Mendoza line. If you're Slobo, sorry, fuck off.
I'm not like being quiet because I'm disagreeing with you. I'm being quiet because I keep wanting to make a no Slobo joke.
I know.
I'm just like, don't do it.
Come on, man. What is this? 2020? Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I think that there is value to having a quicker prosecution, certainly.
Sure.
Let's say that. We can agree in the middle there.
Hey, all I'm saying is that once you're, like, guarding Slobodan Milosevic and he's bringing in somebody to fuck, we've messed up. We're wrong. We are wrong.
Yeah. So Alex thinks that the entire story about Serbia is all a fraud.
That sounds true.
And this is a mess.
The whole story we've heard about what happened in Serbia is a fraud. And if Slobo's a monster, then the Croats and the Muslims are even bigger monsters. If he's a demon, they're Satan. in what really happened over there. And it's admitted. I mean, we've interviewed people like Senator Inhofe years ago who went over there. Piles of dead Serb soldiers. The coalition forces would kill Serbs, put them in the KLA uniforms, put them in Muslim civilian clothes, stage mass graves. They'd show piles of manure as fertilizer at farms and claim they were mass graves from orbit with satellites. That was proven to be frauds. They would stage massacres. All admitted. You understand it is admitted that all those big headlines and all those big top stories and all the things you heard, mainstream news, the government news, has retracted, but always back of the paper, tiny blurb. The propaganda pieces, though, were top news for weeks, top news every night, top news on the cable channels, covered of Time, Newsweek, People, just everything. Just, oh, the mass murder, oh, the concentration camp victims. When really it would be UN, in one case, refugees all around a UN food center with barbed wire around it trying to get in to get the food.
This is some really disgusting stuff, and I don't want to nitpick this with too much of a fine-toothed comb, but I want to bring up a glaring point that Alex needs to do a better job about. We discussed this Time magazine cover that Alex is talking about on our last 2006 episode, and he's lying about what it captured. We didn't talk about this on the last episode, but Alex is getting the claim that this footage was all faked as a big propaganda stunt from an article that was published in a communist magazine called Living Marxism.
Yee.
Doesn't seem like that's the kind of place Alex would get his news, but hey, you know, 2006 is a different time.
It's a different time, man.
So Living Marxism published an article attacking the ITN reporters' coverage of the camps in Bosnia, so the reporters sued them and won a massive judgment in the high court. ITN said that they would give the money they got out of the judgment to the Red Cross, and Living Marxism was put out of business.
Right.
The claims that Alex is relying on to deny Milosevic's crimes are actually just libels that have already been adjudicated in court, and he has every reason to know that.
Mm.
But the bigger problem for his show is that that picture was captured during the Bosnian War, not the Kosovo War. If Alex wants to make Slobodan Milosevic into the good guy because he was fighting against Muslims or Albanians in the Kosovo Liberation Army, that's wrong. But at least from the conventionally accepted borders of the time, Kosovo was within the territory of Serbia.
Sure.
You'd be wrong to do so, but Alex could take the position that Slobo carried out atrocities for the sake of putting down a rebellion that was carrying out even greater atrocities.
Sure.
He could maybe stand on that foot.
If you wanted to be, yeah.
But Milosevic began a war against the KLA in 1998. The picture of the man at the concentration camp that was on the cover of Time was from August 1992. That picture was taken in Bosnia and Herzegovina, where the Serb population of that country, with the assistance of Milosevic, were trying to wipe out the Muslim and Croat populations.
Sure.
Alex is trying to argue that Milosevic is the good guy, or lesser of the bad guys, in the Kosovo War, but the examples of instances where he thinks the globalists did propaganda false flags are about the Bosnian War. Even that mass graves thing that he's talking about has to do with Srebrenica, which is in Bosnia and Herzegovina. The UN had decided that Srebrenica was a safe zone, so naturally that led to refugees from around the country going there to escape violence. In 1995, Serb forces stormed Srebrenica and killed over 8,000 people. U.S. intelligence produced satellite images of mass graves, which prompted Bosnian Serb forces to dig up the graves and rebury bodies in various locations, so someone might think that the graves were just manure piles if they came to investigate,
right.
Which is what Alex is perpetuating.
Right.
Alex is saying monstrous stuff here, and like, it's very inexcusable at this point in 2006 for him to have these takes.
Yeah.
But bigger problem, I don't think he knows the difference between Bosnia and Kosovo.
Yeah, it does feel like that is the case.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knows the difference between Bosnia and Serbia.
No.
Other than that they're at war. Like, if the details of who's who lost on him, he knows that two people are at war. That's kind of more what I'm getting from him.
I think he understands that it all has something to do with Yugoslavia.
Right. But he doesn't know where that is.
And something.
Doesn't know why Muslims are really involved, because Muslims and commies, and but also he doesn't really know where Kosovo is.
No, I think he knows that one a little better.
Okay.
Because, you know, he's talking about, like, Jim Inhofe. And Jim Inhofe was a major supporter of Kosovo.
Senator. Yeah.
And so, like, I think that Alex understands that one geographically, but I don't know. I don't know if he understands the distinction between things that happened when and how both have to do with Milosevic.
Yeah.
I think he just thinks, like, he's dealing with uprisings or something.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I don't think he comes off as in any way a trustworthy source of information.
Right.
Anybody who was listening to this who had read stuff should probably be like, this guy sounds like a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me throw this out at you. Again, here, not to belabor the point, but Slobo, you know, because I think... If I were to go by, you don't get a trial if you made a mass grave and then made people dig it up to hide that you made a mass grave.
Yeah,
because I feel like the net that would catch, very small.
Sure. I think that it's unfortunate, but the way that a lot of the atrocities were carried out were maybe difficult to link directly to Slobodan Milosevic.
Sure.
Because there were, you know, like Serbian, militias within Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Sure.
Or Croatia. And, like, I think that maybe some of those mass graves that we were talking about, maybe you wouldn't be able to tie it back to him.
Sure.
Maybe even some of the concentration camps and shit that would, you know, would just go.
We'll be fine.
Man, weird that Alex likes this guy.
It's horrifying that he likes this guy.
So this next clip, even more horrifying.
Oh, boy.
In one case, refugees all around a UN food center with barbed wire around it trying to get in to get the food, and they show one guy who had tuberculosis who was very, very skinny. Of course, then if you see the rest of the video, which has now been shown, it shows fat people on either side of him. But they are there disheveled, begging for food. And they said, look at him in a Serb camp. Total lie. They staged it knowingly, and the ITN individuals have now been proven to be government operatives. This is what they do. And so get past your emotion of, I don't like him, he's a Hitler. Not true. Did they go around and get into ethnic warfare? Did they try to force people out of certain areas? Yes. Were they first? Yes. Did they not give in to the UN and the New World Order? Yes.
Okay. So you chose a random date for us to go back to, and I think we've accidentally stumbled onto one of the most revealing moments in Alex's career.
I mean, this is wild.
He's not opposed to genocide and ethnic cleansing if you just say you didn't start it.
Yep.
This is insane.
I mean, okay. Like... While I understand the concept of I didn't start it, once you go force people out of their homes, you are starting it.
Now
you have now started a second part of it.
Did they start an ethnic war and displace people?
I feel
people
like you can't yada 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 that.
Now, granted, they did.
No, that's not okay. That's not even a... That's not like, you get one. You don't get any! Hey, come on. Boys will be boys. I'm sure they'll learn their lesson. No, once you take a bunch of people's land, you're probably going to keep doing it.
I can't imagine Alex, like, being this blunt in the present. This is so...
Are we going to do a little ethnic cleansing? ICE. What do you want? I don't know. It stands for I See Ethnic Cleansing.
It's hard to imagine why you... you know, this is difficult because no one really took this seriously.
It feels like this should have been way more important than it was. I guess it feels like, so it's 2006.
Yeah.
The people aren't too interested in Slobo.
Yeah.
He's like a back page story.
He's been in The Hague for five years or whatever. The trial's been ongoing.
Yeah. But, So I can understand why this doesn't, like, move the needle for a large group of people. But at the same time, it should, like, raise your ear and go, wait, he's fine with ethnic cleansing?
We're 7 years removed from, like, the end of the Balkan War.
Yeah.
And, like, so I guess maybe some of the heat of And I think this is a sweet spot, too, because 2006 isn't where, like, social media isn't around.
Yeah.
So people aren't going to be making a big deal out of, like, Alex's wishy-washy on ethnic cleansing.
Yeah.
This could disappear into the radio waves.
Yeah.
And people wouldn't be able to, like, you know, remember it.
It's so hard to put yourself back in a pre everybody's on Facebook world where it's like anything could turn into the topic of Facebook that day.
Yeah.
Whereas this could just be there and gone and no one would ever remember. Yeah.
Yeah. But then if you take this seriously and you take the position that he has seriously, then like obviously he's in favor of expelling
absolutely
non-white people from the United States. He feels like they're trying to start an ethnic war with him. It totally makes sense how brutal he wants things to be.
Yep.
And it explains his present day. Like, it just should have taken him seriously.
I mean, it is wild to think that of all the problems that we've had with so many political figures, that Alex specifically has had with so many of those political figures, it is the one most like Slobodan Milosevic that he decided to support.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wild.
Slobo.
Slobo and Trump are not that far apart.
I think, one of them had a better reality show.
That is true. That is true.
That was Keeping Up with the Slobos. Oh, God.
Oh, boy.
So everything that we're told about Milosevic
obviously can't be true. Cannot be true.
It's not true.
It's just so amazing that what we were told about Slobo and Arkan and all the rest of these guys, 95% of it wasn't true. Were they hard-nosed?
Yeah, but 5% is still
doing a lot of bad things? Yes. Were their backs against the wall under attack and under siege? Yes. I didn't mean to start the show with this today. I just start looking at this New York Times article. Expert suggests Milosevic died in a drug ploy. Yes, he did it. There's no evidence of that. All the evidence is they poisoned him.
So Alex in that clip said the things we hear about Slobo and Arkan are not true.
Uh-oh.
Do you know that guy?
Don't remember him.
So Arkan was the alias of a guy named Zelko Raznatovic, who was one of the most brutal and violent warlords in the Balkans up until his death in 2000.
Mm.
He was a bank robber and general criminal until the breakup of Yugoslavia, when he decided to start a paramilitary group called the Serb Volunteer Guard that grew out of, like, football hooliganism and
he's an ambitious
violent
guy.
Crime.
Yeah.
This was an international terrorist group that killed unknown numbers of people in Bosnia, Croatia, and Serbia. He was a thug, not a politician, so Milosevic didn't see Arkan as a threat to his power, but more as like a blunt instrument he could use to kill civilians.
Who's not technically his own instrument,
mm-hmm.
but somebody who's acting independently, quote unquote.
Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't threaten political power and can probably be crushed by state military power if need be, but
right.
for now he's aimed at the right people.
Right.
This is fucking insane for Alex to be talking about how we're all lied to about these warlords.
I mean, it is amazing the idea that you can, because I don't subscribe to that concept of like, hey, listen, 95% of what they're telling you is wrong, but within the 5% that they told me was true, you have admitted was ethnic cleansing,
mm-hmm.
kicking people out of their homes.
You interviewed yourself and copped to that.
Yeah. So I, while I respect that lying is wrong, I don't care in regards to this one. You can't even have 5%. You can't have 2%.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have 2% ethnic cleansing. That's no.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's like pump the fucking brakes. These numbers are made up.
Absolutely.
Like, percentages are made the fuck up.
That's what I'm saying. Even by your own ridiculous percentages, you are indicted.
95% of the stuff that I accuse them of saying about these people is a lie.
Right.
Okay. Well, you're lying about what other people are saying.
Yeah.
So what numbers are real here?
We are tangled in a web of lies.
The numbers can't capture the substance.
No.
And I think that there is obviously a much larger political and historical picture that goes into the Balkans
totally.
and the breakup of Yugoslavia.
Of course.
And it can't be as simply told as, like, the Serbs were bad,
yeah.
and the Bosniaks and the Croats were good, or anything like that. And I don't want to give that impression.
Yeah.
And I think it's possible to view the situation as more complex as one side versus another.
Sure.
And still say, like, yeah, Arkan was a fucking brutal warlord who killed civilians and is not deserving of your, like, support.
Yeah.
You don't have to be somebody who's, like, against the Serb population to not look up to him.
It's very
you know?
Easy. Yeah.
And I don't think that Alex can get there.
You know what it speaks to? It speaks to the power of that rhetorical trick. You know, that, like, preemptive. Did he kill some people? Yes. Was it for a bad reason? Of course. Did he murder my mom? Maybe. You know, like, you can't.
But whomst among us
yeah,
to judge?
Yeah, exactly. It's such a ridiculous rhetorical trick as it gets more insane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that it's why. Don't take it seriously.
Yeah. Don't take any rhetorical tricks seriously.
If you hear something like that.
Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah. So Alex sucks, man.
He really does.
This is bad.
This is bad.
So caller calls in
yeah.
and asks him, hey, man, do you want to
run? What the fuck?
Do you want to run for president?
To bring up is, are you willing to run for president? I mean,
I'm not going to run for president. Thank you,
that
sir.
That guy's high.
And number one, I'm not old enough to run for president. You have to be 35 to run for president. I'm 32 years of age. Number two, the presidency's totally bought off and controlled. 60% of people came out in the last election to vote, but on average about 8% come out to vote in local elections when the real power is local. So the presidency itself has turned into a diversion, a distraction. You can forget seizing control of that. You got to start at the lower level first. And no, I don't plan to ever run for political office. We're way past that point, trying to get control of committee chairmanships and trying to get control of the presidency. It's going to happen at the state level if it happens at all.
I think that tells you everything you need to know about the shift Alex made in the recent years. Previous to being recruited by Roger Stone, Alex didn't believe that it was possible to seize power on the national level. He knew that the ideas he pushed were things that he could usually make sound decent in long-winded, meandering rants, but when it was time to put them into law, no one would be interested. It's awesome to yell about freedom and how the man can't hold back the human spirit, but when you realize that what's behind that is a law making it so employers are free from responsibility for on-the-job injuries, your enthusiasm fades just a little bit.
It's a little different.
Alex likes to act like upholding the Constitution is the end-all be-all of his philosophy, and part of that is the importance of states' rights over the federal government. But that's an act. In the real world, he just recognized that his ideology couldn't compete on the national level, whereas there was a real chance that a very small number of zealots could change a local election. His shit was unpopular, but unpopular can work when turnout is low enough. When you hear a clip like this, there's a draw towards thinking, wow, Alex sure has changed. But I actually think that this is very compatible with his present-day ideology. It's not about whether the states or the federal government should be in charge. It's all about power and how it can be taken. At some point, Alex was convinced that a top-down seizure of power was possible, whereas before, he believed that it could only come bottom-up.
Yeah.
He only could take the states and use that to control the federal government or to disempower it to the point where your states could do whatever they wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's such a great, how would I put it? Like, if you take a look at his words from those different time periods, right? You see different words, and if you think those different words mean anything, you're absurd. But that goal is what changed the words. That idea of this is what we do to create something small and then go from something big changed once he thought he could get something big and oppress something small.
Yeah.
It's not that the words meant anything in either situation. It's just that the goal changed.
Well, no. The goal was the same.
Well, the goal was,
the goal was always taking power.
Right, the tactics changed.
Yeah, what we thought the means to the goal was,
right.
Or what he was pretending was the way we are going to achieve this thing.
Yep.
That's what changed, because that was all bullshit.
Yep.
But because there is this sense that, like, wow, it's not, we're never going to be able to take over government.
Sure,
you know, like,
sure,
we're
sure,
not going to
sure.
get people into these positions.
Yeah.
Because he had that, he'd given up on that.
Yeah.
There was an appearance and a preaching of, like, the only true way, according to the Constitution, is to go bottom up.
Yeah.
And that was bullshit. That yep. was all fake. That
yeah.
was this, that's all ludicrous.
Yeah.
It was all rationalization in service of the only way he felt his side and his extremism could get power.
Right. Right. Every time we're asked, like, what does Alex really believe? You know, does he believe the shit he's saying? And it's like, you should get rid of the shit he's saying, and you should see, if this is what he believes is how to get power, he will say it.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
And I think that you can oversimplify. You can think that's oversimplified a little bit with, like, just ignore everything he's saying.
Right.
That's not true.
No.
You should not discount everything, but
right.
you shouldn't, like, take him as, like, you shouldn't. A liar isn't always lying.
Right.
But a liar is often lying.
And, yeah, and you can't trust somebody if they're a liar.
Yeah. Anyway, we had another caller, and they want to know, hey, who's going to win this next election?
Yeah.
This 2008 election.
Oh, boy.
Now, we know that Alex should probably be, like, head on a swivel about this Obama guy.
And it seems like if God was talking to him.
I guess it is 2006.
Yeah.
And so Obama's not, like, the biggest figure in
junior
politics.
Senator from Illinois.
But God talks to him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
God does the talking.
Yeah. He yeah. shouldn't need to have media coverage.
Yeah.
Who do either one of you, both of you actually think is going to be our next president? And I'll listen.
Well, I've said I don't think the presidency matters. The globalists have got that bought and paid for, and it's going to be their pony. They always, I mean, whether it's Hillary or whether it's some Republican, it doesn't matter. It's the same agenda, Jim.
I think it's going to be Mark Warner, but I agree with you. I don't
Close.
Think it matters.
That's the Virginian governor?
Yes. What DownsizeDC.org is all about is about going around the electoral process and focusing on putting the pressure on the people in office, making it mind-numbing and relentless.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it's going to be the governor of Virginia.
Yeah, he's the most centrist, and he's in the South, and I think he kind of follows the pattern of Clinton. I think the Democrats want him, and I think George Bush has really hurt the Republicans.
I agree with you. And he went to the Bilderberg last year, and he's going this year, we're told. And so he'll be knighted right there, and he's sworn in by Beelzebub himself. So, very, very serious situation. All right.
I guess it's very serious. I guess if you're anointed at Bilderberg, it doesn't really mean anything. Right? Because Mark Warner didn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't president.
I mean, I guess it would mean more if you hadn't also run the country into a massive depression.
Hmm.
That one, the calculus changes on that one a little bit.
Well, I think Mark Warner is certainly, Alex made a documentary about him later, Warner Deception. Yeah, his predictions are always right. That's one thing we should know.
That's why everybody calls him, like, that's why he still gets talked to, is because he's called so much right. Mm-hmm. You know, he's
so far
ahead
of the curve.
You can say he's crazy, but now look at where we are.
Like a fox.
Genius.
So he's talking to this guy from an organization called Downsize DC.
Right.
Which is kind of funny in hindsight now.
Yeah.
I would describe them as this term got thrown around a bit during the paper terrorism.
Okay.
Where he's explicitly saying he wants to make it mind-numbing to be in government.
We're going to send, it's not illegal to send letters, so we're going to send 10 million letters. Every day this guy's going to have to open each letter, and just the very fact that he's going to get so many paper cuts is going to make him listen to us.
Yeah, and he explicitly is saying, like, we set out to make it so they're paper is jammed in the fax machines.
Yeah.
And, like, just make it so government is impossible to function.
Right.
And, like, that's the mentality they have in 2006 towards the federal government.
Yep.
And now they're mad if people blow whistles at ICE agents.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the irony there is, of course, they are doing a better job at keeping the government from working by being in the government than by sending a lot of paper.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's workarounds, I think, to the paper stuff.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to get around that. Yeah.
You can learn to deal with that nuisance, that annoyance.
Yeah.
Whereas them being in charge is just like
Milosevic-y. Do you know what I would listen, there's a lot of shit, right? And it can't quite be solved by just talk 'em ups and whatnot. But I would like it if more administrators in the Trump administration could just be like, we're really not that good at this. Like, we can do some stuff, but like, I don't know actuaries, man. I'm actually not that good at this. Like, I would just like that admission.
Hey, can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
No one knows what an actuary is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? Like, I would love it if they were like, honestly, this was a lot harder than I expected.
Mm-hmm. All of this, I think it's magic.
There are so many numbers. Every time I ask a question, all these people use words at me.
Mm.
Terrifying.
Yeah. So the rest of this episode is kind of a dud.
Yeah.
Kind of boring.
Mm.
But I think it's so critical. It's so important. And also I've been sick, so I'm a little light on
I agree with you in
being
both.
Able to pull myself up on my bootstraps.
It is such a weird, random, coincidental thing to go back 20 years based on a number I just chose out of nowhere and discover that Alex is a Slobo fan.
Mm.
I don't know if there's any possible way I could have predicted any of that.
It's so weird. I mean, granted, you know, it was a little collaboration in terms of the date, but I didn't choose this specifically for this at all.
Yeah.
This was a big old surprise.
I apologize for not giving you full credit on
I chose
date.
2006.
You did.
And I rejected a couple of your dates.
I mean, yeah. I could have
rigged this.
It was only a I apologize.
It's unnecessary, you know?
Yeah.
You don't need to defend Slobodan Milosevic.
Nope.
I don't. This is such a noxious position for him to have, I believe. And it's like I said on our last episode, it's not one that he keeps for a very long time. So, I'm fascinated by, like, what is going to happen here?
So fucking weird.
Yeah.
So weird. There are so few Slobodan Milosevic supporters then, now, before then.
Well, I mean, among, like, maybe Serb nationalist.
Right. But at the end, even there,
yeah,
not many people on his team.
It's diminished.
There were still some people, but at the end, there really weren't that many. Somehow at the end, Alex jumps on the bandwagon. The empty bandwagon of Slobo fans.
I like when we're able to see something that's confusing and also somewhat maybe too relevant in the past.
Yeah.
And so I'm appreciative for that.
It is a light that illuminates a confusion.
Yeah. And man, I'm gonna keep digging at this thread. I'm gonna see what I can learn.
I think we have to find out all there is to know about this.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Alex's walk with Slobo.
Yeah.
So we'll check back in on that, but until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.